coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday, January 13th, 2023. Eric, the tech, I know you are busy. You're slammed. You know, when the only thing I
not
see
at
is
all.
The top of... Yeah, not at all. The only thing I see is the top of his head when I walk by his desk. I know he's busy, but it's Friday. It's Friday.
Yes, it is.
All right. We got that out of the way. Have a lot to get into, folks. Please stay with me the entire program. I actually am proud of this week's programs, okay? Monday and Tuesday, just, I think, a great job covering the infiltration of the United States, of what is taking place. The capstone of this being yesterday, did you hear Steve Quayle and Jamie Walden? If you haven't listened to that show, you've got to listen to that show, because that will make Monday and Tuesday even more realistic or more real or more understandable for you. Okay. It was a fabulous show, that show with Steve Quayle and Jamie Walden, and of course the Neo-Babylonian blindness that we're experiencing, as well as the coming destruction of the U.S. and how that's possible. And it's explained very well, I believe, in methodically in the Monday and Tuesday's shows. So, and of course Wednesday talking about the inner workings of banking, but Thursday, my goodness, knocked my socks off. And of course today, kind of a capstone to what's already going on. You know, Peter Ducey's been at work holding Biden to account on the classified documents. Peter Ducey to Benedict Biden, what were you thinking? And of course, the Liberty Daily reported on this, is showing a picture of the files, additional files, more classified files. There it is right there on your screen if you're watching this, in his garage, okay? Now, you tell me, all right, this is just too easy. I don't know what you're thinking, folks, but here's my, now, you look at that photograph, okay? That could be my garage, all right, in terms of stuff. You got stuff. I don't, except the stuff I have is not classified. But let me ask you a question. If you wanted to get rid of Biden and Harris, heels up Harris, what better way to do this with a mutual, you know, both sides saying, yeah, it ain't good. No, not good. Sorry. What better way to do this? Now, look, I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying I believe it, when I'm looking at this from a cruising altitude, that they're trying to get rid of Biden. They're trying to get rid of Harris and get some new blood in there. For example, Newsom, who was seen, last year measuring the drapes in the Oval Office and picking out the carpet samples and such, you know, fabric swatches. There's something going on here. I'm telling you right now, there's something going on. All right. That, of course, from yesterday on the Liberty Daily. And I appreciate Eric the Tech having this. Now, I've got some information breaking. Information you're not going to hear elsewhere. This, folks, I'm telling you right now, I received a call this week from a medical doctor, a patriot. If there was ever a patriot, it's this guy. I'm going to call him Dr. Jim. Why? Because I can. Okay. He calls me up and he doesn't say hello or usually, you know, we'll make nice. He said, copy this number down. I said, okay. Didn't even say hello. Copy this number down. Z28.310. Okay. So what's up with that? You know, nuclear launch code or what? No. take a look at this, folks. This is the ICD-10-CM diagnosis code, Z like zebra, or for those up north, Z28.310. Again, Z28.310. Well, what is that? This is a code, a diagnosis code, and I will quote exactly from what you're seeing there from the diagnosis manual, diagnosis code manual. It's a billable specific ICD-10-CM code that can be used to indicate a diagnosis for reimbursement purposes. But the reason, look at the top, right above that row of icons of years, unvaccinated for COVID-19. In other words, okay, you know, let's make this real. So you go to the doctors and you come out with a after patient summary visit and you have all these codes written down or on your statement. Now, and as you can see on this, the 2023 edition of ICD-10-CM Z28.310 became effective on October 1, 2022. So since October, they, your point of action, your point of service, your doctors, your PCPs, your hospitals have been keeping track of your jab status. That's right. Your jab status. Now the prefix, the alphanumeric prefix means things. For example, Z00 to Z99, factors influencing health status with health services. And then Z28, which this is applicable to. Immunization not carried out in under immunization status. In other words, you ain't got all your boosters. Okay. And then Z28.3, getting a little closer to, you know, the entire number. Under immunization status. Period. And then Z28.31, there it is. There's the money number. Under immunization for COVID-19 status. So you could have maybe the original jab. Maybe a booster, but not fully jabbed according to the CDC, WHO, WEF, Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates, Klaus Schwab, Yuval Noah Harari guidelines. So suddenly you may find on your after patient summary visit, your diagnosis codes, including Z28.31. So I got this call yesterday. I contacted other doctors. I talked to a total of three doctors yesterday, medical doctors, one DO, two DOs, one MD, I'm sorry, to be specific. Aside from the first doctor that made me aware of this, I said to the other two, have you seen this? And they said, no, I haven't seen this. Okay, this isn't good. And the other two said, okay. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. Well, now, it looks like they have a way to track, and then this could go a number of different directions or in every direction, depending on what they want to do. And these are people that have a collective experience. The three of them combined have a collective experience of 130 years worth of practice, okay? About as old as I am. So, now here's the situation. This is a diagnostic-related group or a factor that can be used for underwriting purposes. It could be used for tracing purposes and tracking purposes. It could be used for treatment purposes. It can be used for a number of different purposes. But the fact is, it's out there. You better be concerned about this. So if I, based on this and the discussion at the end of the night, early morning, the discussion was essentially, don't disclose. Seriously. Or, it's up to you. Tell them, yeah, I got them all. If they want proof, I don't know what you do. I don't know. Or tell them to pound sand. I don't know. But here it is, right here, folks. I'm telling you, there's more to this coming. And we're going to be getting into that, plus more, including but not limited to the some more of them on the Biden documents, some censorship news, intentional starvation of the planet news, war news, and the, of course, if we have time, a little bit of the obligatory banning gas stoves just to make you feel good. Well, actually, just to make your life miserable, make the other side feel good about, at least that's their cover, about the environment. But more importantly, it's about subjugating you to their starvation plans. But let's continue to talk about the bioweapon, about the depopulation kill plan that's been admitted by the CDC as the VAERS data released shows. Now, you know what, before, let's see here. Let me go here. Yeah, let's do this. Let's go ahead and play video 4 first, this first segment from video 4 first, and then we're going to kind of jump around with the video numbers, which drives Eric Tech crazy. But I'm going to try to put this together in a palatable format that you can show your relatives who are still saying, well, this is not anything. It's nothing to do with depopulation. It has nothing to do with control. It's all about health. None of this is about health. None of it, none of it, none of it. And all of this is actually a product of the Department of Defense or the Department of War, as it used to be known. And this is part of the culling of the population. This is a death shot. This is a death bioweapon. Everything that you've heard is true, but it's even worse than what you think you know. It's even worse than what you think you know. And the reason I can say that is because it was even worse than what I thought I knew. Let's go to video 4, clip 1. This is about 2.5 minutes in length, and then we're going to be skipping around. This is from band.video, and this is the COVID depopulation kill plan admitted by the CDC. This will open it up with this.
Let me just do this. Let me read you some of the headlines. CDC finally releases VAERS safety monitoring analysis for COVID vaccines and directly says there's clear safety signals of death and a range of highly concerning thromboembolic, cardiac, neurological, and a bunch of other immune system and menstrual adverse events. It goes on and on. So everything the CDC document warned in October of 2000, before they rolled the shots out, is happening. Now, how'd they know that? They tested chimeric COVID viruses under a national initiative under Obama, directed by Anthony Fauci. His name is on the directorate. With the University of Texas running it at their bioweapons facility in Galveston. Okay? Look it up. Covered it 100 times here. Shown the mouse studies. The mice lived on average half as long as their normal lifespan when they were given the shots for a virus basically identical to COVID-19. This is years before they released it under another name. That's how they knew. That's how Dr. Michael Yeadon at Pfizer knew. It's how they all came out and warned you before it was going to happen. But they still released it. The system still released it. Now, why is that so incredibly important? Well, here's the CDC saying, well, we didn't do studies before we did it because they'd already done them on rats and knew it would kill people to study. But they quietly did it during a pilot program for a month before they rolled it out, and England rolled it out 6 months before we did, and they also knew it was happening because of what happened in the UK. This is all on record. And think about that, that they knew it erased your immune system, they knew it didn't work, they knew it caused blood clots, myocarditis, heart attacks, strokes, on and on and on, infertility, all sorts of problems with your menstrual cycles, attacks your testicles. This is the CDC. This is a Zero Hedge article with it all in there with links to their report. I just read you the top line. Look at all the things. It shows clear safety signals for death and a range of highly concerning heart problems, cardiac problems, neurological problems, hemorrhaging, on and on, immune system, menstrual adverse effects. So that's where we are here. That's just one article here. And I'm going to get to more of these when we start the next hour. Who do they have regulating it? Well, the former head of Pfizer is the head of the FDA board.
Okay. There's more to that. We're going to get back to that. But the fact of the matter is this. People have got to, I guess at this point, all of us, we have to come together, at least those who have been unjabbed, and do our best to convince those who have gotten a jab, which is 80% of the United States, according to one report that's pretty accurate, that 80% of the population in the United States have received one dose, 68% two doses. So we better start educating those of our family members or loved ones or coworkers what's going on. But we better take a stand ourselves, because they're coming after us. And as you saw with the ICD-10 coding, they are tracing us and tracking us. And in fact, they will punish us for not going along with this. But there's something else that to this. It's much bigger now. As documents are being released, as they're forced to be released, this is much bigger than people really know. And this is perhaps the next couple of segments, next couple of videos are perhaps the most important to know about what is taking place, or what has taken place, to reveal the depths of the cover-up and the insidious nature of all of this. And you might think you know this. Now, every passing day, there's more that is made known. So please, don't turn this off and say, yeah, I've heard this before. Okay. Pay close attention to what perhaps you haven't heard fully, or the additions to what you have heard, because when you take this as circumstantial evidence, remember my description, circumstantial evidence, kind of like a boat, you know, a rope that you moor a boat with, a huge rope, and each strand is a piece of circumstantial evidence. The more strands, the stronger that rope. And I'll tell you what, folks, this is a rope that will be sufficient to hold the weight of an Adam Schiff or even a Jerry Nadler. All right, let's go to video number one. Let's just play the first, or this one segment. It's about 40 seconds long, and then we're going to go to the entire video. But I just wanted to pull this out, play this first, and then we'll go right to the full video. Watch this.
And so, National Security Council sets policy for COVID. HHS is not setting policy. HHS is not lead agency in response of it. They are managing information. So the top of the government is treating it as an act of war. And they're telling all of us, oh, it's a health event. It's a naturally evolved virus, jumped from a bat. And don't even mention, lab creation, because you'll be canceled on social media immediately and censored, right? So right from the start, we have huge deception going on. What in fact they're treating as war, they're telling people it's health event.
That is so key right there. And this, hopefully that will speak to you about the Monday and Tuesday programs I did, about the Communist Chinese Party, about the infiltration into the United States, into the Western governments by Communist China for this one world, well, for their own reasons, but toward a global governance. In fact, globalists using China as a model for the lockdowns and for this global governance. So that right there, and if people, you heard what she said, look, the National Security Council is in charge of this, not Health and Human Services. Well, right there, somebody, I mean, people better say, wait a second. We've never seen this with a sickness, illness, or a vaccine, their word, before this being administered by the NSC as opposed to HHS. So let's go ahead and start video right from the beginning, this video, and I'm going to punch in where necessary, but please watch this. It is extended, but I'm telling you, it's so important. Here it is.
Well, to our top story now, a bombshell new report shows that the Department of Defense, yes, the Pentagon, controlled the COVID-19 program from the very beginning, and everything we were told was political theater, basically to cover it up, right down to the FDA vaccine approval process. It was all theater. That means that human beings were used as props, essentially. According to newly obtained documents, the Pentagon used a combination of shady approval authorizations that are still in use, including the PREP Act, the Emergency Use Authorization, and other transaction authority, the OTA, all of which shielded big pharma agencies, medical participants that delivered unregulated vaccines from any liability and protected them, basically. We've gone through a lot of these documents and just showed how they are not on the hook for any of this liability. These new documents were obtained by a former executive of a pharmaceutical contract research organization. That person is Sasha Lyudapova, and Sasha joins us now to tell us what she's uncovered. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Sasha.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. This is intense. I mean, when you first uncovered these documents, did your jaw just hit the floor, or did you know that this is what you were going to find based on the breadcrumbs you were already uncovering?
I was really shocked. I was working on this for quite some time. My first finding was that these products were not good manufacturing practice compliant. And that I found right away when they started being rolled out due to extreme variability of adverse events and deaths that were reported per each lot of the so-called vaccine. So that was very shocking to me as a pharmaceutical professional, because we know how high quality pharmaceuticals typically must be manufactured. You know, they have to be very, very consistent. There should be practically no variation lot to lot in terms of toxicities or any other performance characteristics. And these products were varying about 1,000 times lot to lot. So that was extremely concerning. And I didn't realize why that was happening, but I just knew that they were not good manufacturing practice compliant. I later confirmed that through regulatory documents. And then the final piece of the puzzle was when I was able to see all these contracts from the DOD. They were released based on Freedom of Information requests and also Securities and Exchange Commission disclosures. And when I saw those contracts, there were around 400 that are now available for all COVID, so-called COVID countermeasures, including vaccines. I realized that was really what was going on. The Department of Defense used a very shady contracting practices and also used several laws that were put in place previous to COVID to do this, to shield pharmaceutical companies, to not conduct proper clinical trials, to do a lot of fraudulent, I would say, manipulations of public perception, and all in collusion, obviously, with mainstream media and these pharma companies. And so as a result, we have this theatrical performance called clinical trials, but they were actually not real. They did not, based on the laws that are used here and invoked in this process, the clinical trials are not required at all. And in fact, they cannot be conducted.
I mean, there's many really troubling parts of this story. We'll unpack a few of them, but that one stands out to me perhaps at the top of the list is the theatrics that were put in place for these trials. So there were human beings in many ways being used as props to paint the veneer that they were somehow going through deep trials to make sure that we were all safe with these vaccines. And you have, I know there was a, for instance, a 13-year-old girl They, in fact, had an ad. The Vaccine Safety Council had put out an ad that was going to run during the Super Bowl. Then it was yanked by Comcast. They wouldn't allow it to air, which shows a perfectly healthy 13-year-old girl who went through this particular trial and then ended up having all sorts of adverse events. So these people were used as props, essentially, right?
Yes, exactly. And so the clinical trial subjects were deceived. But importantly, most of the clinical trial sites and investigators were also deceived. And most of the FDA employees were deceived, because this particular scam is driven from the top. Only few people, as far as I understand, at the top of these organizations, the Department of Defense, HHS, FDA, BARDA, their legal counsels, they know. But then the rest of the regular employees and rank and file, and especially clinical trial subjects, of course, were kept in the dark. And in fact, under Obama administration Cures Act, amended, I believe, the emergency use authorization, or the, not emergency, the informed consent requirements, such that subjects don't have to be necessarily informed of what's going on.
Pause that.
If it's
understand this, okay, what she just said right there, the Cures Act and the informed consent does show a now in law enforcement or in the legal arena, would show premeditation, would show that this is a conspiracy by definition. And I hope that people understand when she mentions Obama, the Cures Act, there has to be, there had to be, in at least looking at this again from a macro perspective, and as well as a granular perspective, there had to be knowledge back 6 years prior to the release of what happened. Now, I don't want to say to his credit, perhaps understanding the gravity of the conspiracy, Obama kicked the gain of function research or the weaponization research of the coronaviruses using bats for it specifically to Wuhan or out of the United States, at least put a moratorium on the funding. So again, is that a good thing? Well, not really, because it continued. It just did not continue with his fingerprints. Well, it didn't continue with his in his house or in his venue. It still has his fingerprints on it. So he is one of many. And she mentions BARDA. She mentions other agencies where people are in the know, while the others, you know, the lower tier are not. So you've got the planning, and this provides, at least in my view, again, in my investigative research, provides the, I would say, a good prima facie case for Department of Defense cooperative conspiracy with the Communist Chinese Party based on infiltration that I spoke of on Monday and Tuesday to create a bioweapon, but more insidiously create a weapon, perhaps a bipartite weapon, that being the clot shots, the injecticide, for the purposes of depopulation and as part of asymmetrical warfare, specifically and especially by those who have been compromised by, as I said, Monday and Tuesday, by the Communist Chinese Party. Did you just pause that or did you dump it? Okay, let's continue with this because, again, critically important video. Go ahead.
Deemed not in their best interest. And so again, through, it's too long to go into the legal history. There is very extensive research, hundreds of pages of documents on legal history of this, but the laws that they're invoking to run this program do not require informed consent and also do not require the clinical trials.
So the people,
and they're not under FDA.
I'm sorry, this is unbelievable. So the people involved in these trials, they don't need to be informed about what is happening?
Yes, exactly. So the informed consent rules have been amended under Obama to say that if it's not in the best interest of the subject, who decides if it isn't? But that's what it says. So, you know, these types of things can be concealed from people, that this actually under emergency use authorization used during public health emergency. This is very critical. That's why they keep extending public health emergency beyond any, we don't have any emergency, but they keep extending it. Why? Because they need this.
And under Biden public health
emergency, emergency use authorized these kinds of medications, countermeasures. That's a key word. These are not vaccines, they're countermeasures. So all these three together, they can use it this way. They don't have to inform the subjects what it is. They can use a lot of secrecy. They don't have to run clinical trials. They're not required because these products cannot be investigational products. That's what the law says. If they cannot be investigational products, then we don't have any investigation. We don't have any clinical trial subjects. So that's how they're pulling this off.
So it's at the Pentagon. It's at the Department of Defense. You talked about countermeasures. And of course, I think what we all think of immediately is foreign threat, right? That this is, we're dealing with the Pentagon, right? It's supposed to protect us against foreign adversaries. So how is COVID a foreign adversary? And how is this being run through the Pentagon?
That's a great question. So from the very beginning, turns out that the Trump administration and subsequently Biden administration treated this COVID as war, as an act of war, because the National Security Council is setting COVID response policy, which is National Security Council doesn't have any health department representatives, only defense and intelligence. And so so National Security Council sets policy for COVID. HHS is not setting policy. HHS is not lead agency in response of it. They are managing information. So the top of the government is treating it as an act of war.
Okay,
and they're telling all of us.
Folks, go to HagmanReport.com, open up today's description box, and all of the links are there, and you can watch the entire video. But for the sake of time, I want to cut it there. But the important part with that is it demonstrates based on this whistleblower, this informant, this individual's statements, that this is a cooperative. It's hard to wrap your mind around, at least in my case, a cooperative conspiracy or a conspiracy period between the globalists who are ideologically and monetarily tied at the hip with the Chinese Communist Party. And that includes, at least in my investigative research, people like and including Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru, Obama, as well as Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, the entire Biden family, the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation, all of the globalists, and of course, individuals in the UK, think tanks and universities in the United States, in Canada, and across Europe. So this is a war, as evidenced by the National Security Council dictating the terms and conditions of how the response is to be laid out. Okay, this next video, again, extremely important. This goes to what I opened with. They're going to be able to, in fact, they can tell you if, you know, if you got the jab or not. Period. Ann Vandersteel, I met her in Washington, D.C., spoke with her a couple of years ago. Haven't spoken since, but at the time we had some good conversation. Talking with an individual about VADs, but also talking about they can tell who got the jab. This is video two in the program. Run notes available at HagmanReport.com. Here it is.
That they stuck three separate HIV proteins in these shots and effectively gave the world vaccine-induced AIDS. If that happened, all the doctors will tell you that is so. So how is it possible that they've effectively killed half of the globe and they're still walking around free?
Did you know, Todd, the military is starting to test the members of the military for AIDS?
Yes, I do know that.
Are you
sickle cell too, by the way, and sickle cell as well, because the vaccines have also the propensity to change the shape of red blood cells, and so now they're showing others with sickle cell, with HIV, with cancers that never existed before. It was only in 2021 that we found there was an 1,100% increase in all-cause morbidity and mortality. We don't know what those numbers are anymore because the DOD changed them and fudged them. And I was talking to one of our whistleblowers yesterday, funny enough, and I said, well, how can we track how many pilots are no longer flying because they can't? And this person effectively said, we can't, because now DMED is worthless. It's not useful because the numbers are all made up. We don't even know how to track this now.
Now that they're doing these blood tests and they're looking to see if members of the military who have been vaccinated have AIDS, vaccine-induced, vaccine-acquired immune deficiency, basically, they also looking to see if, in fact, some of the members of the military even took the vaccine? Because let's face it, there's people out there that'll, for $100, $1,000, whatever, you can walk into a CVS and they'll take your vaccine, squirt it into the trash can and fill out the form and say, well, they came in for their vaccine, I didn't have to tell you I put it in their arm, you know? Are they going to be able to determine that?
They can tell. Yeah, they can. So we did mass spectrometry on both Pfizer and Moderna, and we found that each of them contains something called luciferase.
Right.
And in one of them, it's SM102, and the other one is ALC3015 as key ingredients. Luciferase is a bioluminescent ingredient, for lack of a better word, that will, in fact, allow third-party onlookers to know whether or not you got the shot. And I've talked to people who showed up at the border with their fake vaccine cards and were turned away because the border inspectors knew they hadn't had the shots. They knew remotely. So the answer to your question is yes, they'll know whether people got the shots or not. And those who stood up and said, I'm not getting the shots, are already getting processed out. Right. That's what we're doing from day to day, is trying to help those people.
Okay. So you heard what he said there. They can tell based on a component of the jab juice. Now, you might say, wait a second. I watched a video with Del Bigtree on with Dr. Cole, and they did mass spectrometry on certain on four vials of the jab juice, and they didn't show up with Lucy. Look, the lots are different. Okay, they're coming out with different different formulations. This is why the confusion exists. I think it's so important to understand, as well as perhaps what wasn't in the original is now in the boosters and the bivalent. All right, so you've got to continue with testing all of this. They found contaminants in the original vials, but they did not find certain things that they expected to find. And again, this is why people are saying, well, no, this is just conspiracy nonsense. No, it's not. Because the lot numbers, the manufacturers, the place, the locations, and the delivery, especially the delivery, is much different. So it's important to understand that. But the bigger segment behind this, I think, or as big as this, comes, again, this is a compilation, a well-done compilation from band.video. This is Dr. Yaden talking about the toxic depopulation weapon being calibrated for mass culling. Please watch this. Again, I'm relying heavily on some videos here, but I think it does best if we bring the evidence to the table and allow you to see it right from the mouths of people like Dr. Yaden and others. Here it is. This is video 3.
I'm Dr. Mike Yaden. I describe myself as an industry veteran. I've worked in the biopharmaceutical industry for all of my life. My first degree was biochemistry and toxicology. English people don't like to brag, but I'm told I should. I was top of the year by a very long way. As an undergraduate, I worked under military clearance at Porton Down. That's the equivalent, I guess, of Fort Detrick. It's where the UK military develops its so-called chemical defences. I also worked for 6 months at the Police Forensic Service headquarters at Aldermaston. So I learned a lot of analytical techniques in that time. Then I did a research-based PhD in respiratory pharmacology. And then after that, I jumped into industry. I had seven happy years at the Wellcome Research Labs. So after that, I went to Pfizer in the UK at their very famous Sandwich Kent research based. I think more blockbuster drugs were discovered and released from that lab than any other single establishment on the planet. I wish I could claim I had anything to do with it, but I didn't. But what it did do is give me the opportunity to learn, as it were, at the knee of great drug discoverers, people who actually conceived, led programs, invented molecules, developed them, gone through safety testing and launched them, and they're all made more than a billion a year thereafter. So it's a really good place for learning this trade. The reason I'm speaking out is because I noticed advisors to the UK government lying on directly on television. And first it was just kind of fascinating, but through the spring and into the summer of 2020, I became first alarmed, and then later in the year, frightened, and I still remain frightened. How could it possibly be that Germany, Italy, the United States, Iceland, Scandinavian countries have all got the same bunch of wrong information all at the same time? And I put it to you, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, there's only one way that could happen, and that's if they all agreed to do it beforehand. The evidence of a supranational plan is the discarding of simple, well-established pandemic preparedness plans and replacing them with this bunch of lies. And it turns out that it's not a particularly lethal virus. If it exists at all, it's about the same as a bad seasonal influenza. But in Sweden and Germany, I looked at the public record, not one healthy child has died as a consequence of being infected by this virus. Not one. I think the ultimate aim is control. And we will come onto this. The control mechanism that we can see being installed all around us are the so-called vaccine passports, a certificate first on paper and eventually a QR code on your phone that tells anyone who needs to know that you have received the requisite number of doses of these materials. It'll be the end of cash and of any privacy of any transaction. They've lied to you with the objective of both frightening you and I think also learning from financially experienced people. The other objective was to begin to destroy the economy and the sovereign currencies. And I think that's a continuing objective. So the design of them, I would say it was toxic by design. It was always going to harm people. And I'm absolutely certain about this as a pharmacologist and a toxicologist is by choosing this design, the range of outcomes is probably 1,000 times worse than it would be for a conventional vaccine because, the actual amount of protein produced will vary by orders of magnitude more. It will. But I'm really quite concerned that there is a serious intent to kill a very large proportion of the population of the world. Again, I hope I'm wrong. They certainly set the scene where a bad actor could introduce a gene sequence that will rob you of your health and kill you in a fairly predictable way at a fairly predictable rate. So please, I'm begging of you, whatever your neighbours say or your school teacher or your government advisor, I'm afraid they're lying or mistaken. You must not vaccinate your children. If this was a public health measure, you would only administer these vaccines to people who could benefit most from it, so the people who are most likely to get ill and die. And that would exclude healthy young people. It would certainly exclude children. It would definitely exclude pregnant women. And here's the other thing. It would definitely exclude anyone who's had the virus and recovered. Let's look at the thing that's most comparable. So she looked at all the injected products against influenza. And it turns out, as you can see, it's decades of data. And it's about 23,000 lots, manufacturing lots. And if you look to the right, the COVID mRNA vaccines, five lines down, similar number, 25,000. So they're similar numbers of lots. But if you look at the serious adverse events, you can see like a five-fold difference there from 9,000 to 47,000. And in terms of deaths, I think that's like eight times worse. So something very peculiar is happening. I mean, what I've just told you, you may not appreciate the significance of it. It's not the same stuff. So if you thought it was the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine that was used in the clinical trials, some of the batches contain something different. I want to show you what we think is a normal, well-manufactured, consistent high quality product
look at
looks
those
like
shirts, by the
in
way.
The real world when you give it to, you know, millions of people over time. So now that's with that established and baseline is around 4 and the highest value was 37. Corbin, if you could show us the next slide. I think it is the next slide. Yes. So this by now should start to take your breath away. Look how many batches of COVID products are worse than that. So a number of things I want to point out here. One is the extreme level of side effects that we're seeing. Orders of magnitude, I would say just the rolling average here is looking like, I don't know, between 100 and 200 instead of 4. That these are really toxic products. They really are toxic. These are people who've suffered and some of whom have died. But as you cast your eye across the, you know, across the axis at the bottom, you can see that some of the numbers there are associated with very small numbers. They're so small that you can't see it registering on the thickness of the x-axis marked, y-axis marked 0. And yet close to it, there are a whole bunch of batches that have got, you know, 400, 600 serious adverse events per lot, and they're roughly the same size. That means there's not the same product. It's not the same stuff in each glass bottle. That's an offence in all sorts of ways against the Adulterating Drugs Act. It cannot be accidental because they are professionals that know how to manufacture consistently. It's not possible that this is small variation in product because it's, you know, an emergency situation, difficult to make. But what you've seen in front of you there, I've described it to other people. I said, I'm worried that this is calibration of a killing weapon.
Okay,
I'm afraid
right
I've come to the conclusion that they're doing it.
You heard that, right? And you can see on your screen right now, beautiful. Thank you, Eric. COVID vaccines. Again, their word, not mine. Does this look like the same consistent product by manufacturer and by lot? And look at the differences. Folks, if you're listening to this by way of Spreaker, iHeart, other places, go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link, or go to Rumble and subscribe. May I impose upon you listening to subscribe to Rumble or Brighteon? And or Brighteon, both, please subscribe, whether you watch it or listen to it, but please subscribe and give us a thumbs up, if you will. I would appreciate that, but look at that. And so this is what I was saying earlier in an extremely important piece of information in an evolving investigation. Understand, the investigation is evolving. We are attempting to keep up with the conspiracy that is continuing, this continuing course of criminal conduct, and we are finding, as was initially suspected, but now it is being proved by the results. And this is not anecdotal evidence. This is direct evidence based on excess mortality as well as the adverse effects. Okay, that is submitted not by people, but by physicians and by the CDC and other government agencies universally, okay, or internationally, I should say, themselves. So this is qualified evidence that shows that this cannot be the same jab juice in every single vial. And that is so important to understand, because some people will say, well, you know what? I've had 65 boosters and I'm fine. I'm walking around fine. I feel great. You know, I had a sore arm, but, you know, gee whiz, other than that. Well, why is that? You're looking at it. Go ahead and continue.
They're so professional. And after a year, they know this data. This data is their window onto the world. They can go into VAERS, they can filter for their own products and their own lot and batch numbers, and they can see what's happening. They know. So the fact they haven't stopped this tells me that they're at least okay with it, and I fear that this is deliberate. Why might it be? Why might it be deliberate? Well, as we've seen over the last 2 years, big techs like Google, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter and so on have persistently said, we're not having anyone making a comment or a recording that disagrees with what the public health officials say, and we're going to call that misinformation, and we're going to basically will censor you and maybe deplatform you. What that means is that a qualified person like me, and I promise I have no axe to grind whatsoever other than telling you what I think is true, which is that we're facing a global crime. People like me cannot speak to the public because the tech companies have decided not to let me. And that's true of mainstream TV, mainstream radio. I've only ever appeared on radio where they maligned me. They just told me lots of lies. So I then threatened them, and then they deleted the recording, which tells you something, doesn't it? So if you just turn your TV on over the last 2 years in the same way that you ever have, you're only going to hear a one-sided, and in my view, it's mendacious. It's a completely misleading description of what's going on. You'll never hear things like this. And you should see both sides of it. The fact that you're not allowed to, I think, tells you that they know there's something bad going on, and they're going to make damn sure that people like Dr. Mike Eden and Dr. Robert Malone and Dr. Peter McCulloch and so on will never darken the studios of BBC or CNBC. Because if we were given an hour, I think we could destroy this story. There's no unusual threat in your environment except from your government and their policies and the pharmaceutical industry. There's nothing going on other than, you know, the sort of psychological warfare. But it requires us to just take a little courage in our hand and say, I do not comply anymore. I do not comply. And you're not doing anyone any good by complying. You're not saving yourself. You're certainly not saving your children. So that's all you need to do. And they can't arrest everybody, right? What we want to do is to wake people up, because if we don't wake up, we are finished as a set of liberal democracies. And this all comes out. Don't ask me how I knew. Ask yourself why you didn't.
Mark.
There it is. Don't ask me why I knew how I knew. Ask yourself why or how you didn't know. And that might sound like a pretty rough statement, but that's so important, because knowledge right now, we are in the fight of our lives. And to show you too, some of the circus, man, a lot of this is just bread and circus stuff, okay? That's going, well, no, that's the wrong phrase. A lot of this is just smoke and mirrors. That's a better phrase. The Washington Examiner, this is page one, for example, in the show notes. Here it is, Washington Examiner. Take a look at this. The Biden administration gears up for another COVID-19 fight with the House GOP. Look, even if we had a fight with the House GOP versus the Biden regime, do you think that anything is going to come of it? I doubt it. Do you think anyone's going to come in riding a white horse and save us from this? No, I doubt it. The Biden regime, they're facing yet another battle with Republicans in Congress over COVID-19, this time with the GOP flexing its new House majority to step up investigations of how the virus started and how it was handled. They know this. They already know this. Pick up a copy of RFK Jr.'s book. Understand, listen to the people that have come to them, and they know this already. Of course, they want to put it on the record, but what happens once it's on the record? Do you think anything will happen? I don't think so. The House Republican Party this past Monday, launched the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic. This from the article, which its leaders pledge will investigate the origins of COVID-19 and other aspects of the pandemic, while there is a partisan divide over the origins debate. What's wrong with that sentence right there? There should be no partisan divide. We're all humans. And we're talking about something that can be proved if investigated properly. And we're talking about something that affects all of us equally. Well, all of you equally. Well, not so much, I guess, hearing what we just heard. But it affects you nonetheless. And it will affect all of us nonetheless down the road. But the fact is, this partisan divide should not exist. Why does it exist? Because you could tell right from this partisan divide, that this is a fight between good and evil, in my view, as well as this part of this global conspiracy to take over, to kill, to cull the population. And here we are. So And they're right. This isn't about Joe Biden or Donald Trump. They're right. This is much bigger. This is about good and evil. This is about the people who want to take over the world. And if you listened yesterday to Steve Quayle and Jamie Walden, you understand the fact that we are right now in the fight of our lives. Folks, this is what I want you to do. I want you to, seriously, you've got to protect those you love. Protect yourself and those you love. This is our task right now. And then, again, I always run out of time because I spend a lot of time trying to really cover in detail the subjects that we talk about. Try to provide more than adequate evidence. And this comes from my experiences in trials, because you walk into a trial, and I got to tell you, it's not like it's like it is on TV. You go into a courthouse and you think you've got a solid case. You're sweating bullets the whole time, because especially if you're in front of a jury. And if you look at the world right now as the sheeple, okay, as if you've got a jury of sheeple, or the sheeple are the jury, we'll say, trying to convince them, well, that's a problem. Because as the, now I cut the video there, and I would urge you to watch the entire video, but Mark Twain saying, it's easier to fool people than it is to convince people that they've been fooled. That's where we're at right now. And people are afraid. Hey, I got the jab. What about, what's going to happen to me? Or, I sent my children, allowed them to get the jab. What about them? Well, I don't have the answer for you, because you, from today, you saw different lots, different results, different impacts. I do believe that this has been one big experiment, and I think that this will be borne out as time goes on. But it in addition to being an experiment, it is also part of the culling of the population to get it down. And we're seeing that through excess mortality all across the world. So I don't have to beat that home. I want to talk about this as well. This is only going to get worse. This is about censorship. Again, in the interest of time, I'm going to go through this very quickly. This is page 2 in the show notes. This is about Paul Sperry. And this is something that, frankly, what happens is this. When we, you and I, and the normal people out there, when we get, and the people that are good investigators and telling the truth, when we get close to the truth, they cannot furnish an argument. They have to shut us down through censorship, kind of like being thrown out of a courtroom. If you bring the truth and there's no argument there, what are they going to do? They're going to shut you down. Okay, so right now there's a fight, and this is worthy of your attention, because this is going to be going on more and more as time goes on. The mask will come off. People like Adam Schiff and others, even on the Republican side, as I showed you Monday and Tuesday with respect to the infiltration and takeover by the Communist Chinese Party, acting as tools of the globalists for total global domination. The fact is that the House Democrat Adam Schiff abused his power to demand that Paul Sperry be kicked off Twitter simply due to a personal vendetta. Well, the personal vendetta originated in an exposure of what Schiff was doing. The reason I put this up here is not just simply because of Adam Schiff or Paul Sperry or the issue of him getting kicked off Twitter. This shows you, this particular article has some information in there that shows you the inner workings of the various social media outlets, including and especially Twitter, but those people who are working with the government. And isn't it funny, not funny, but isn't it telling that the same people that were operating the rollout of the vaccines, as they call them, and the fight against the bioweapon that known as SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19 that issued the lockdowns and all that, was the NSC, the very same people who were fighting against, and this shows it, fighting against the truth tellers. This is something different, but it's the same template, the same people, the same overall intent, and that's to shut down the truth. So what I'm telling you is this. All of this is interrelated. The fact is we are getting more and more, just to summarize this, we're getting more and more information every single day to show you that this is a bioweapon. The COVID-19 and the injections were bioweapons. All right, as well as the jabs. And we need to fight back. God bless you. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening in. And tell us about this program. Good night.